Our call to worship this morning is from the Doctrine and Covenants, section 85, 9a through 10c. And brothers and sisters, this isn't over our head. This is revelation given to the church, and it's for our understanding. So if we study it out and ponder it, the Lord will give us enlightenment to the meaning of it, to the true meaning of it. So listen to these words, 85, 9a. All kingdoms have a law given, and there are many kingdoms, for there is no space in which there is no kingdom, and there is no kingdom in which there is no space, either a greater or a lesser kingdom. And unto every kingdom is given a law, and unto every law there are certain bounds also and conditions. All beings who abide not in those conditions are not justified, for intelligence cleaveth unto intelligence, wisdom receiveth wisdom, truth embraceth truth, virtue loveth virtue, light cleaveth unto light. Mercy hath compassion on mercy, and claimeth her own. Justice continueth in her course, and claimeth its own. Judgment goeth before the face of him who sitteth upon the throne, and governeth and executeth all things. He comprehendeth all things, and all things are before him, and all things are round about him. And he is above all things, and in all things, and through all things, and is around about all things. And all things are by him and of him, even God, forever and ever. Would you please bow with me? Father, we thank you for the peace of this very moment and pray that even through this hour you would sustain us as you do through the days, all the days of our life. Praying, Father, for your Spirit to be here in fullness. Praying, Father, that our faith, as we have come together to worship thee, would be sufficient, that we might be able to hear the words which are brought forth this day and feel thy Spirit, and be able to have the understanding that you would have us to have at this time. Be with us this hour. Be with myself, Father, as I preside and preach, and be with my brothers and sisters that are here, that those words truly would be on their hearts as they go out from this place later on. Be with those, Father, who are not here this morning, those that have been mentioned already this morning that are sick. Father, those that are in need, we pray for them, Father, that you would bless them for all that they need. And pray for those that are not here, whether by choice or not, that they would be blessed also and know that they are being thought of and that truly you do care for them. Be with us this day, I pray in the name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Once again, I'd like to bid you good morning and hope that we always recognize where we're at right now. We talked a little bit about that this morning. There needs to be respect in the sanctuary. It needs to be acknowledged why we are here, to worship our Heavenly Father, to have an understanding of Jesus Christ, to take ourselves away from the world at least for a moment, that we have to have the opportunity to share together in worship. I just want to talk a little bit about God's laws. And knowing that God's laws apply to all things, I want you to keep that in mind. We know that. We just read that scripture that said all kingdoms have law. No kingdom goes without a law, no matter where it is. And we know that God is continuing to create worlds without ends, is what the scripture says. And all has law. All have a pattern. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, I want you to remember the scripture. I'm going to bring it up a little bit later. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. I'm thinking the other day about my brother Jay and the fallowed ground where he sees that people are tilling. They're getting ready to plant. The farmers are out there. And I want you to keep that in mind. I'm going to use that kind of as an example. for some in our area right now, if you look at the greenhouses, they're in full swing right now. They've already planted all the stuff that they're going to be selling to people pretty soon to plant in their gardens. Farmers are starting to get out. The ground's unthawing. Things are being done to prepare the ground. The beginning of the farming season, if you will. The growing of the very food which helps sustain our physical bodies. I thank you at this moment, even for all the farmers. Do you realize how hard they work that we might have food in our grocery store? I pray we don't take that for granted. They work hard. I have a couple of my uncles and one of my uncle's brothers that are farmers. And we would spend a week back in the day when I was a little kid up in Marquette at my one uncle's farmer. That's back when they used to milk their cow, take the milk down to the corner and pour it in a big container with all the other farmers in that area. And then a big truck would come and take it from there. Trust, can you say, on the farmers? Farmers work very hard, brothers and sisters. In my mind, I've always told everyone that I think that it would be good for everybody to spend part of a summer on a farm, to have understanding of the days. You get up in the morning, you do what you need to do, you go to bed at night, and you get up the next day, 7 days a week. Spend a little time in church on Sunday, but no unnecessary work must be done. The scriptures tell us about that. Farmers work constantly for us, that we might be able to have that sustenance. Please, pray for the farmers, because they're in need too. They count on everything that God gives, the sunshine, the rain, the seeds to grow. We know that if all goes well in the season, there's going to be a good harvest in the fall, right? When an abundance of fresh fruits and vegetables, Judy and I, we try to get out and do tomatoes when we can, the grapes, the strawberries, the blueberries, and then we have it all year. It's so nice to open up a fresh can of jelly or let something unthaw from in the freezer and just smell the same smell that you went in the season of the fruits and the vegetables. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And it's available for everybody. Now, with that idea in mind, I want to discuss this morning the keys to a godly harvest, if you will. In Mark chapter 4, verses 22 through 25, it says this: "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself." Think of the order. I want you to think of the order of this. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And he said, "Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like the grain of a mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the other seeds that may be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out with great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." You know, we all know about that little mustard seed. I mean, if you look at them, they're very small. And what that little seed creates. I want you to know that something has to die to grow. Do you know that? Think of all the seeds. They've actually come from something, and they've died. They've dried. And then they're planted into the ground, and there's a rebirth. Just as we are reborn when we enter into the waters of baptism and we begin to grow, and hopefully we bring forth fruit. To have a good harvest, there are things that need to be done, all in time, in the right time, and in their proper order. First, there must be servants, workers, if you will. Someone has to prepare the ground, right? During the preparation and the harvest time, there's a great need for servants. No one can be idle during these times. And now remember, I'm comparing this to farming, but I want to think of this as spiritual preparedness for the kingdom. Now it's time for every believer to be active in the service of God and building up his kingdom. Build ye first the kingdom of God. All the other things will come unto you. The entire body of Christ must get involved in preparing souls for the great harvest, which is going to come. It's going to come. You cannot stand idly by and say, someone else will take care of things for me. It's time for all of us to work. Every one of us has work for, the Lord has work for us to do. In Matthew chapter 9, it says this, starting at verse 43. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Have you been praying about this? Have you been praying that the Lord will send more servants, more laborers into the field to spread the word, to bring the people closer to God? Have we been praying about that enough? Are we prepared to be the laborers that are being prayed for? Are we prepared to say, here am I, Lord, send me? Or are we wanting someone else to do it? Remember, the Lord knows your heart. Let your prayers not be in vain. If you're praying in all seriousness and singleness of heart, be prepared for a work that the Lord might give unto you. The soil must be prepared first. Now think of this, when Christ is preaching to the multitude, this is in Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 3. And he said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell on the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other seed fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Only the seed that is sown in good ground is going to bring forth good fruit. Therefore, it's important to prepare the soil, or the hearts of the people, if you will. And it starts with us, that our hearts have to be prepared so that seed can begin to be nurtured within us. And then as our fruits are brought forth, we can share that fruit with others. And a seed will begin in their hearts. I know we've talked about this many times, where we can bring all the information we want to other people, but we can't make them come to the Lord. We can only give them the information. And the Lord speaks to their hearts and continues to nurture that seed. And they will begin to understand in their hearts if their desire is there. There has to be that desire. Just as the soil is prepared for the seed, tilling and fertilizer, if you will, it can take root now because the soil has been prepared properly. The hearts of men must be softened. And that's a hard one. The hearts of men must be softened to allow God's word to take hold within them. And there's a great difficulty out there now because people want to think the way they want. They don't want to talk to other people and try to figure out, here's one thing and here's the other. Let me meet in the middle and try to figure this out. They want to stay and say, this is the way it is, or this is the way it is. And then it becomes an argument. And we don't want to get caught up in that. All we can do is give the information that we have and then let the Lord take over. And if the individuals are really wanting to know, the Lord will speak to them. And they will know. They will know the truth. All things. Everything that has to do with life. Planting of the good seed, or the word of God. Without good seed, there is nothing to grow or harvest. Without this, without the Spirit to be within us, how can anything grow? It has to begin with a good seed. You know, there's a saying, that kid's a bad seed. You know, we've heard that before. or that person's a good seed, just to give you an idea. It has to begin with a good seed. Now, people can change, obviously, as time goes on. But oh, how much easier it is if you start from the beginning with all the goodness of God. The Word of God is the seed, and it must be planted in the hearts of men. Now, God is planted. At the very beginning, we were all born with the Spirit to be with us. But if it's not nurtured, it goes away. It has not been able to take root. So that seed has to be nurtured. There is tremendous power in that seed, however. Even miraculous power, if you will. Miracles do happen, even today. In Matthew 13:21, it says this, "But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth and endureth, which also beareth good fruit." I want to read that again. There's a lot of words to highlight in there. "He that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth and endureth, which also beareth good fruit." And I might add too, that heareth and do. Not just hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. But I want you to pay specific attention about endureth, because I think that's a key word in that scripture, especially in our day and all the difficulty that's out there in the world. Because if we get knocked down, brothers and sisters, we have to get back right up again. We got to get up and move forward. We can't slow down. We can't stop and become discouraged. People are watching, and then they will become discouraged. We have to get up and go forward with courage. And then when they ask us how we do it, upon our lips, we have to have the reason why. And we know it because of our Lord Jesus Christ and the example that he's given and the ability to follow him and have that courage, that someone that died for us, after what they went through, surely we can go through anything that this life has to give us. So far we have need for the servants, we have need for good soil, and we have need for a good seed. And that's what starts to get things growing. Some might say, "Well, Brother Rex, that's enough. Got everything we need." But I would tell you, there's still lots more that has to be done. There's the showers that must come, or the outpouring of God's Spirit, if you will. In 1 Corinthians, we're going to learn here in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians 4 through 8, some of the spiritual things that are poured upon mankind for the betterment of their abilities, the joy of life here. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, to profit withal. For one it is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by that same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of the spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. I want you to stop there just for a second. Do you realize if he gives the ability of one thing, he's not just going to say, "Here, speak in tongues," and nobody knows what's going on. He gives the ability to interpret that also, so that you will know with assurance of the truth of it. "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will, however God sees fit." Brothers and sisters, this is the outpouring of the Spirit. This is God trying to help us. You know, in the Doctrine and Covenants, when it says that the Melchizedek priesthood is necessary for all in this life, that we may have that spiritual witness, that we may have administrations, that we may have blessings, because without that, we wouldn't be able to carry on, because we wouldn't have that spiritualness about us. The Lord placed this church in order once again and gave the authority within it that man may carry on and be prepared for the kingdom. In all our efforts and labor, we must allow ourselves to be guided through the moving of the good Spirit which is within us. Without the Spirit of God, all our efforts would be in vain. Again, remember, this all goes back through Scripture. There is no way that you or I could do anything good except it be by the Spirit of God to be within us. The flesh is weak. The flesh does whatever it wants. But the Spirit of God is goodness. And that is what causes us to go forth and do a good works. And that's why it says if we are obedient unto the Lord, we will do good. Because we are obedient unto Him, following the commandments which He has given before us. Now here's the part that people have difficulty with sometimes. You're in high school. You get there early for the football game, for practice. And you're just track, whatever it is. You put in your all in all. There's sacrifice, is there not? That you will do your best and be your best. Be that which God has created you to be. Keep, nurture that talent so that you, but there's sacrifice. Sometimes you can't watch that TV show because you got to go out and get prepared to do whatever it is that you're supposed to be prepared for. But there is sacrifice. And people don't want to sacrifice, it seems. They pick and choose. Well, I'll give this up a little bit. I might give that, but I'm not going to give this up. No matter if it comes into the way of anything, I won't give that up. Brothers and sisters, we have to learn to sacrifice, even unto our life. You hear that? Psalms 126, 5 through 6 says this. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There's sacrifice, but the joy and the reward after the sacrifice is made in true heart for others, setting ourselves aside, doing what the Lord has created us to do. God's people must be willing to sacrifice their time, their energy, their talent, sometimes money, sometimes their comforts. Maybe even coming out of your comfort zone to bring forth the harvest. Look at the big picture, brothers and sisters. We want everybody to be saved to the kingdom. I know that's not what's going to happen. We're told that the road is narrow and few there be within. But why we're here, our job is to try to bring everybody as best we can into that path. As long as people cling to everything they like and refuse to sacrifice, I want you to think about this now. If you're not going to sacrifice for the Lord, when you do it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Sacrifice to the poor, to the bruised, to the brokenhearted, to the homeless, whatever it might be. If you're not willing to sacrifice that, then you will wholeheartedly never be in, or all in, if you will, as workers of the harvest. We have to be willing to sacrifice. And I know we struggle with that. Point the finger right back at me time to time. We don't want to give up some of the things that we have because they have become near and dear to us. But they're things. Please realize they're just things. God has a work for us, you and I. My question to you is, are you all in, or are you just kind of on the outskirts? Maybe a little here, a little there. I want to read this. This is from the Lectures of Faith. We talked a little bit about that this morning. I think it's a very important book. I don't know why they ever took it out of the beginning of the Doctrine and Covenants, but they did, and they separated them. And I think that the devil had something to do with that, because now most people don't even read that. They read the Doctrine and Covenants. They had that with them. But how many of us here have the Lectures of Faith on our bookshelf at home? Okay? Very, very important. Those things that Joseph Smith taught from on high in class. This is from lecture number 6, starting at 7a. I'm going to read this slow so that you can, so that it can think in. It makes so much logical sense. So here we go, 7a, lecture 6. Let us here observe that a religion that does not require the sacrifice of all things, I got to stop there. I want you to think of the churches, these big mega churches out there. When you go to one of them, how much are you sacrificing to go see, as I said this morning, it's kind of like going to the theater. You know, they got great music, they got great things going on, they got a lot to offer, but is it spiritual or is it physical? Okay? Let us observe that a religion that does not require the sacrifice of all things, all, I want you to keep that word in mind, never has or will have power sufficient to produce the faith necessary unto life and salvation. You must be willing to give of your all, not just the parts that you want, that you feel comfortable with, everything. For from the first existence of man, the faith necessary unto the enjoyment of life and salvation never could be obtained without the sacrifice of all earthly things. It was through this sacrifice and this only that God has ordained that men should enjoy eternal life. And it is through the medium of the sacrifice of all earthly things, can't take them with you anyways, that men do actually know that they are doing the things that are well-pleasing in the sight of God. I'm going to read it again because I want you to get this. And it is through the medium of the sacrifice of all earthly things. If you're willing to give up all the things that this earth can give you, all earthly things, then actually you will know that those things which you are doing are pleasing in the sight of God, because you're doing what he's asked. When a man has offered in sacrifice all that he has for the truth's sake, not even withholding his life. I think of Joseph Smith and Hiram going on that trail to Carthage jail out of Nauvoo, knowing they were going as sheep to the slaughter. They knew. They were willing to give of their own life for the betterment of the people and the church and the things to come and the believing of God and Jesus Christ, and they had that belief. And believing before God that he has been called to make his sacrifice because he seeks to do his will, he does know most assuredly that God does and will accept his sacrifice and offering, and that he has not nor will not seek his face in vain. Under these circumstances, then, he can obtain the faith necessary for him to lay hold on eternal life. It is in vain for persons to fancy themselves that they are heirs with those, or can be heirs with them, who have offered everything as a sacrifice. Who would we think we are that we should get the same reward of someone that gave their all? All rewards are not the same, brothers and sisters. We've talked about the glories. We've talked about hell. We know that all rewards are not the same. It's according to the way we live this life that our reward is being prepared right now. Doctrine and Covenants 6:15. Fear not to do good, my sons, for whatsoever ye sow, that shall ye also reap. Fear not to do good, because those things that you do now, that's where your reward lies. That's what you will also reap. Therefore, if ye sow good, ye shall also reap good for your reward. You know, let's talk about the season for a minute. The season is short. Okay? There's only a set amount of time for the growth, for the maturity, and for the fruit to be born. Remember the opening scripture that everything has a season and a time for every purpose under heaven? Harvest can only be done during the harvest season, when the crop is ready to be harvested. If the crop is harvested too early or too late, the entire thing will be ruined. You can't take a tractor and start cutting corn when it's not ready or it's too soft. It will be good for nothing. In the kingdom of God, this right now is harvest season. If we fail now while it is yet day to work, the entire harvest could be lost. That's something for each of us to understand. Even through the struggles the adversary throws at us while we're at work in the field, the Lord will see us through to the harvest when the time is right, in His time, not ours. That's why we are called to endure to the end, through all things, remain steadfast, that we will make it till the end when that harvest is prepared and ready. Matthew 13, chapter 13, starting at verse 22, has this to say. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went on his way, unbeknownst to the one who planted. But when the blade sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in the field? Whence then hath come the tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. And the servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. How many have pulled a plant out when the dirt's still wet and moist? You pulled out a couple extra plants when you thought you were weeding your garden? So keep that in mind. He said, Nay, lest we gather up the tares, and the root of the wheat shall be pulled also. But let them both grow together until harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the wheat into my barn, and the tares then are bound in bundles to be burned. Now here's the hope. And of course, all through the season, there must be hope, or rather faith, that all things are being done and watched over by the care of God, while all the time we remain strong. No matter what we go through, we have an understanding that it's in God's time. And we understand that He's watching over all things. And so we're expected to do the best we can in our work, and God will take care of the rest. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If you're working for the Lord, your reward is sure. It's not being done in vain. If you become sidetracked and begin to be part of the world, doing those things of the world, your reward cannot be guaranteed, or it will be diminished greatly. 2 Nephi 13:29. Wherefore ye must press forward. This is for us all, because I know we all struggle. Wherefore ye must press forward, no matter what, with a steadfastness in Christ, having perfect brightness and hope, never giving up, always looking forward, seeing that light, seeing that brightness, having that hope, and a love of God and of all men. We must love God, but we also must love our neighbors as ourselves. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting right here upon the word of Christ and enduring to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. But you know what? All our labor, it must by faith be undertaking with a firm assurance that God is with us all the time in our efforts. Because otherwise we'll have trouble moving forward. At every little bump in the road, we'll become discouraged. And it'll at least slow us down, if not stop us completely and take us on another way. We need to have that assurance through our faith that God is with us and is taking us through everything in this life. For if we lose confidence, we will get discouraged and labor with doubt and reluctance. We're not going to have that faith anymore. We'll be just doing it because, well, you know, might even be a real little reluctant to move forward because we don't think God is with us. Laboring with faith, knowing with the assurance that God is with us is indispensable to the success in any of our efforts as we go forward, even from this moment on. No matter all the distractions that are going on out in the world, no matter what happens, we must have that faith to be able to continue on and move forward that God is with us. Take one thought of what Jesus Christ did for us and keep that in your mind all day long. I guarantee it will awaken your spirit and help you to continue to move forward through all things. And now the harvest, or the reward, if you will. I want you to hear these words. These are from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And these come from Matthew, beginning at chapter 13, beginning at 37. The field is the world. This is a little explanation he's given of one of his parables. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. He's being straightforward, isn't he? The harvest is the end of the world, or the destruction of the wicked. The reapers are the angels, or the messengers sent from heaven. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world, or the destruction of the wicked. I always like it how he makes sure that we know that the end of this world means the destruction of the wicked, not the good. The destruction of the wicked. For in that day before the Son of Man shall come, he shall send forth his angels and messengers of heaven. And they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and that which do iniquity, and shall cast them out among the wicked. And there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth, for the world shall be burned with fire. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears, let him hear what the Lord is saying to the church. I can't tell you how many times that's repeated in the first three chapters of Revelations. He who hath ears, let him hear. May you find yourselves filled with the Spirit of God as you help to prepare others, as well as helping yourselves to prepare for the kingdom and for the harvest, which will come. Let us be prepared. And again, remember, at the same time, we're preparing others that we might bring them along too. May the Lord bless you and keep you safe. I pray that you will continue to be well. I'd like to have you keep in mind those upon the prayer list, especially our brother David at this time in his time of need, that he would be able to get home soon, maybe even today. And I know that the Lord is blessing us and will continue to bless us as we move forward. Would you please bow with me? Heavenly Father, truly, through thy Son, Jesus Christ, we have been saved. May we, as we go forth, bring that light unto others, that as they come closer to thee, Father, they will also have that saving grace. Be with us as we leave this place, Father, that truly we would have your watch care continued to be over us as we go forth on our day to day, that no matter what we might come across, no matter what might confront us, that we would be steadfast in our faith, looking to thee, Father, knowing that you are with us in all that we do. Be with us, guide and protect us, is my prayer in your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.